Welcome back to the Florida Roundup on WLRN. I'm Luis Hernandez. You know, last year, there were almost 2,000 complaints made about improper behavior at condo associations statewide. Those range from financial mismanagement to other irregularities and fraud. Of the 1,908 complaints, more than a third of them were filed in Miami-Dade County. El Nuevo Herald, along with Univision 23, have been working to dig into this issue. I'm joined now in studio by Enrique Flor and Brenda Medina, both of El Nuevo Herald. Enrique, Brenda, thank you so much for joining me today.
No, thank you for the invitation.
All right, and we want to hear from you. Tell us about your experience with condo associations. Maybe you've got questions about what are your rights. Maybe you think something's going on at your condo association. 800-743-WLRN. That's 800-743-9576. All right, real quickly, I wanted to ask, was there one incident, one moment that really brought this whole thing together, especially between El Nuevo Herald and Univision?
Yes. So we started getting for about a year complaints from readers telling us that they needed help because they have
more than a year, right?
Yes.
A couple of years ago.
Yeah, because they have problems in their condos and no one was helping them. They would go to the police and the police said the problems were not criminal. And then they would go to the DBPR, the Department of Business and Professional Regulations.
That's the group, by the way, that you have to call if you have an issue with a condo.
Yes, but mm-hmm. they would tell owners that they can only regulate certain things. So there were a bunch of problems that were in a limbo that condo owners didn't know who to go to. And when we started collecting all these complaints, we saw that there was a pattern. And Univision, Erica Carrillo, the Univision investigative reporter, she was getting complaints on her own. And we put them together. We create sort of a rustic database to see if we saw any patterns, and we found interesting.
Patterns like electoral fraud, beats, for example.
Election fraud, electoral fraud.
Yes.
Okay.
We found a kind of ballot brokers here, like in Hialeah. We call it in Spanish las boleteras. We found that the ballot brokers inside the condoms was, it's not funny, it's really, Jesus Christ. Weird. I didn't think that in the condos we can find the ballot brokers. Unbelievable.
You know what? Let's look at some of these that you guys pointed out in your stories. One of them was at the Fountain Blue. All right.
Yeah, Beach Club.
And there was the story there was about the elections. And briefly, I mean, there was an issue of falsified signatures. What was going on there? And this is actually not just at this one. This is at a numerous condos. Falsified signatures?
Yeah. So what we did was among the condos that we analyzed to investigate, because we got so many complaints from different owners, we found this particular one, the Beach Club, the Fontainebleau Park, where we found all of the problems together. So they had
the capital of the problems.
Yeah,
that was the worst
like
one.
The poster child. Yeah. So we found that they had electoral fraud. So dozens of owners, people who don't even live in the United States, ended up voting in their elections.
Exactly, we proved almost 84 was the specifically number, right?
Of people who ended up voting, and the way you vote is you vote with your signature,
right,
on a proxy.
Mm-hmm. And there were people who came forward and said, "That's not my signature." Exactly.
80 something people. We called them one by one. And they said, I wasn't even in the country.
So the people who run the association, then what was their response to falsified signatures?
In many cases, they refused to give us
They refused to talk to us. So the difficult problem about investigating electoral fraud in condos is that it is very hard, according to the police, to determine who forged the signatures.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that we can say is that in all of the cases, one group ends up benefiting from the fraud, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's the group that ends up reelected. So that's a good place to start asking questions.
Again, the number is 800-743-9576. If you live in a condo unit and you have any questions about how the election process works or how fees are collected and what happens to those fees, if you think fraud's going on, we'd like to hear your story. Again, 800-743-9576. There was also a story of a Leslie Navarro recently arrested stealing from the Hammocks Proprietors Association. My understanding of the story is basically she's siphoning money into her own business license account. What was going on there?
It's impossible that she worked alone.
She was the only one arrested?
Yes.
So far. But what happened here is another example of how easy it is to commit fraud in a homeowners association, because they're not regulated. They're not really regulated. The laws are super loose. They're weak. The police is not gonna come up and help the owners investigate. And so this lady, what she did was she created a parallel company with the same name as the homeowners association.
And she opened a secret account bank.
And so she was basically moving all the money into her account. And nobody knew any better?
No.
But here's my thing. So I don't live in a condo, so I don't understand. Uh-huh. But I'm supposed to see those condo fees going to things around the condominium. So wouldn't you see there are problems, things aren't being cleaned, fixed, whatever. I mean, isn't at any point you would spot there's a problem here?
Well, yes.
In this case, specifically, Leslie Navarro, she was working in hammocks in Kendall. And when the people of Kendall, of hammocks, read the story about the beach club, they called us and we started to investigate a case. It was unbelievable to discover that Leslie Navarro, in 2015, she went, for example, to make shopping in Hialeah, and she spent maybe more than $200 in Victoria's Secret. Can you believe it?
She was spending a lot of money. She had siphoned off, almost $150,000.
Exactly.
Yes, and going back to your question about whether people realize that something is going on, they do. The problem here is that the companies that manage the condominiums are the record keepers. Mm-hmm. And the board members who are many times involved in this type of frauds are the record keepers. So owners have to go to these people to ask them for the records to prove the fraud.
So if I live in a condo, who could I call? Where could I go? Because you pointed out in the story, you've got people calling the police and they're like, well, there's nothing we can do. They go to, again, to the statewide group, the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation.
The DBPR, yeah.
And they're like, well, there's nothing we can do. Well, then who does
theoretically it? The DBPR, but in the real life, the people are calling us because the authorities here are not working.
The DBPR is supposed to, but do they really have any power?
So it's complicated. So they don't have much power, what we have seen is that the power they do have, they're not using, and the solution is going to be, you know, a combination of many things, but they need more power, and they also need more resources, and
that
they
power,
need a reform.
That, by the way, that power comes from the state legislature, and they really haven't passed any laws to give the DBPR any more real teeth, right?
Yes, so there have been changes in the laws going back and forth, but what we have seen is that throughout the years, none of that has worked on behalf of the owners. There is a law project in the making right now.
We'll see
what happens with that.
Before I go to the phones, actually, our very own Peter Mertz is he's running the board over here across the glass from me. You got a story, Peter?
I do. Yeah, I live in a condo in Hollywood, and the meeting that took place this past Wednesday evening, one of the residents held up the budget documents and noted that the previous fiscal year's budget expenses had gone down 20%, yet our maintenance fees went up about 10 or 15% this year. When asked to provide some kind of explanation or documentation for this, they were mute. They looked at their hands.
The board.
The board did, I'm sorry, yes.
So my question is
there an overseeing agency? I mean, I know we do an official audit every year, but is there an inspector that can come in and be shown this kind of data and act on it?
So you have to contact the DBPR.
The DBPR,
and they
again.
Eventually are gonna come, and they're gonna investigate, quote unquote, and they're gonna tell your board whether they're doing something wrong, or they're doing something right or wrong. If they're doing something wrong, they're gonna give them a letter telling them don't do it again.
Okay, the other thing I gathered too from the story is that if you file a complaint with the DBPR, you better have a lot of proof. Or they're just not going to touch it. I mean, they really make it hard for you.
It was
we are using the help of the residents and the owners, because they have the real power, because the companies, the management companies, they are the bookkeepers, and we don't have the power as our reporters to ask the association, the board to give up on the proofs.
All right.
It's very difficult.
I want to go to the phones, and again, talking about condominium fraud and again, as we mentioned, 1,900 complaints statewide, more than 1,900, and a third of them in Miami-Dade.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, really, if you live in a condo unit, do you know what's going on and what do you do? So let me go to the phones. This is not just in Miami-Dade, obviously, up and down the coast, because condos are big in South Florida, from here through Broward, through Palm Beach County. Let me go to the phone, and I want to go to, is it Matt Jackson in Boca Raton?
Yes, hi. Thank you very much for this conversation, because just a quick story. We ended up having to leave our condominium just because the fees, and you made a comment earlier about the fees, and so my question was exactly about that. We ended up having to move out because our fees literally, I mean, from same year, it doubled, like $1,800 a month in 1 year. And so is there a variance, or is there a rate or ratio with fees are allowed to go up?
Okay.
Well, how does that work?
All right. And Jackson, because your line's kind of kicking off, but we did get that. So thank you so much for the call. So her fees doubled real quickly. I've heard that argument as well. Is there a rule about how fees work?
I would like to know if it was because of a special assessment. So one other problem for a lot of condo owners is special assessments. When there is special project, you know, something has to be fixed. The 40-year recertification process, the board would approve a special assessment, meaning they would borrow $1 million that have to be paid among, you know, the owners in a certain amount of time, and that's legal. But the condo laws dictate, you know, all the rules and regulations around those special assessments. So it's very important that the owners read their condo laws, go to the meetings, and see if something is being passed that is not allowed as per their own condo rules.
In the case of special assessments, the goal of the special assessments are to fix different problems in the condominiums. But in the investigations, we prove that the special assessments are also an opportunity to steal the money of the owners. Is that true?
I want to take one more call here before we finish up. I've got Nancy in South Florida, who's a condo lawyer. Nancy, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks. I appreciate getting an opportunity to speak, however briefly. I tuned in about halfway through. I represent some associations as well as a lot of unit owners, and I also had to defend myself in a suit brought against me by my condominium association. And one of the things that I found in all of my studies is that unit owners don't read their documents before they move in or ever, and they don't participate in the meetings. They don't go to board meetings. They don't go to unit owners meetings. And those really, even though boards will try to limit your ability to ask questions and so on, those really are your best opportunities to become involved and to be informed and to understand the power that the board has, and its important power. The other piece is, since I hear from your other guests that I heard a Hispanic accent, uh-huh. I represent unit owners whose language is not English, mm-hmm. and they have no idea what their condominium documents say because they're not translated into Spanish.
All right, Nancy. I apologize. I do have to cut you off there. I apologize only because of time, Nancy, but you brought up a couple of quick things. All right, so I'm going to finish on this. Enrique, Brenda, you know, so she brings up this issue of people don't read their contracts sometimes. Sometimes.
It's real.
Okay. Uh-huh. So, I mean, really, at the end of the day, you know, it's not to make one person, one bad guys, good guys here, but really, from everything you found, what really was going on?
Yes, and that's one thing that I would like to tell the owner. Sadly, the system that is put in place to regulate these condos is not protecting the owners. Like Nancy said, you have to get involved. You have to go to the meetings. You have to see what's being done with your money. The only reason why we were able to get all this proof to put these stories out there was because of owners who got involved and fought for, you know, their rights.
All right, I'm going to have to stop you there. And, you know, a story that will continue. And again, it's something that El Nuevo Herald and Univision 23 are following up on. Enrique Flor and Brenda Medina of El Nuevo Herald, thank you so much.
No, thank you so much.
All right, coming up next, so Wynwood is Zika free, but are people going back to the businesses? That's coming up next here on the Florida Roundup on WLRN.